This is the Recency Bias. Welcome to your morning after mini pod, which is not at all being done the morning after. Being done the evening of the next day, because your boy needed a little time to think about that loss, to process the game 4 loss by a 2-1 sorry, 2-1 score. Apparently a full day of processing it doesn't remind me what the score was. To Vegas, evening the series up, one game apiece. And I'm concerned that when all is said and done, that game is going to be the one that got away. Much the same way that I was looking at game 3 as being so valuable for the Habs, because it was a game they won that they really didn't necessarily deserve to win. You want those in the playoffs. You want to steal them. And the reverse happened on Sunday night as Vegas stole one from the Habs in overtime. So many things the same in this one. Apparently the team that has a high-level member of their management or coaching staff get quarantined off for COVID prior to the game and then come out starting slow. Whatever team does that, that team is going to win. Is the pattern forming so far in this series through 4 games? So Chris Lee, he's reffing again. Do you want to talk about the refs right off? Let's get the refs out of the way right here. The reffing was shit. The reffing was an embarrassment. The reffing was so bad that not only was the CBC Sportsnet broadcast calling it out, you saw online significant figures in the NHL media who tend not to call out the NHL in general, but especially reffing, really, really upset with what happened in Game 4. And rightfully so. You know, I think certainly as Habs fans, we feel the calls were biased against Montreal. I think the Habs did get the short end of the stick, have got the short end of the stick so far in this series, but I think both Vegas and Montreal had a very good case to make in Game 4 about the reffing being shit, no matter which side you were coming from. It was just a really poorly ref game that kind of got out of hand. It got out of the ref's hands for sure. I mean, there's letting things go, and then there's letting everything go. It's full-on prison rules. Of course, full-on prison rules until you get to the wrong part of the game, and then the Habs get called for a soft one. Just a shit show, and a true embarrassment. You know, usually it doesn't take much for fandoms, particularly of certain teams, of all teams, to get riled up, especially in the playoffs. I mean, we've seen coaches do the whole shindig around complaining about the refs. Up to this point, the Habs have not done that, really. Don Ducharme, when it was his gig, was pretty political, and while he made his feelings known to a degree, he certainly didn't get into territory where he was risking getting fined or anything like that. But man, what a mess of a referee show it was in Game 4. And for most fans, I think, for most fans who aren't Vegas or Montreal fans even, you know, casual hockey fans, that's their main takeaway from the game on Sunday night, is wow, just what a horrible embarrassment of refereeing. Chris Lee, you know, obviously Montreal Canadiens fans know Chris Lee very well. We knew when he got announced for Game 3, it was probably going to be a tough situation for the Canadiens. And Game 4, when he was re-announced because of COVID protocols, the same refs would be doing those games. Well, many people either rolled their eyes or were straight up distressed by the idea. And what they were worried about came true. It was just, I don't know how you would possibly explain that as a decently refereed game in any way. But for Montreal and for Vegas, the result is probably more significant. For the Habs, a tough loss, because that was a chance to really put this series in a spot where Vegas was going to be filled with doubt, especially because they played kind of their ace in the hole. They played Robin Leonard in place of Fleury, and a lot of people going into the game thought that was a really bad idea to switch up the goaltending. Pretty much everybody did, which is where I started getting concerned. When the whole Hockey Night in Canada crew came on and said, I don't like this decision, I thought, shit, that means it's probably going to work out. When nobody likes an idea, for some reason, more often than not, in the sporting world. It seems to work. And it did work. Robin Lehner was the best player for Vegas on the night, I would say. Maybe the best player on the night, actually. It turned out to be a big move, and it could be one of those, you know, for, as Sean and I were talking about after Game 3 when we did the recency bias, talking about those moments that you kind of look to on the DVD when you get the Stanley Cup DVD. And if it's Vegas this season, the switching of the goaltender could be the whole thing. The old goalie swap could be where this series balance tips. We've seen it happen before. Habs fans have seen it happen when rookie Cam Ward came in and changed the narrative, changed the whole series. So who knows what goes from here on out. Three games to be played. It's a best of three now. The first team to win two gets to call it a series and head to the Stanley Cup. Look, the Habs played well. The Habs played a really good game, a much better game. It's hilarious in a way that coming out of Game 3, Habs fans were feeling so high, so good, despite the fact that they just got their asses mostly handed to them for the entire game and then got lucky as hell and then won it in overtime. And everybody's feeling great. Well, this game, the Habs were way better in Game 4 than in Game 3. They were much better than Vegas the entire time. Vegas got the lucky goal. Not quite as lucky as Fleury just handing it to Josh Anderson. But that goal was not one that Carey Price would normally let in. The McNabb goal. Midway through that third period. Just not something that we would normally see Price do. He's allowed the occasional softy in these playoffs, as near perfect as he's been, and that was one of them, and it came at a tough time. Now, who's to say that with 10 minutes left and all the push in the world, Vegas doesn't find another way to equal that thing up? But it was a tough one. I mean, it was Carey's worst, quote-unquote, night of the playoffs so far. 19 saves on 21 attempts to give him a .905 save percentage. I mean, that's very low. He was getting it up above .950. At the start of this game. A huge night for Robin Lehner, who made 27 saves on 28 shot attempts. But it does feel a little bit like it certainly grabbed momentum back for Vegas. Again, Habs fans, I think we could take something from that game and saying the Canadiens really outplayed Vegas. More often than not you do that, you're probably going to win. And so there's no reason to believe that they're out of this series. They showed that they can hang with Vegas yet again. So we'll see what happens from here on out. I don't know. Big game coming up on Saint-Jean. It now guarantees that we got the Saint-Jean-Baptiste game. So there's that. That'll be fun. All right, let's look at the game a little closer here. Was a much better start for Montreal. The fourth line playing its big early shift. More than just a big early shift from that fourth line. A lot of opportunities. Corey Perry getting a couple chances. The high danger zones, Armia getting one, and Perry set up Stahl for a huge chance, but no dice. They reviewed the Stahl one, and there was no way that one was getting overturned. It looked like, I'm pretty sure the puck crossed the line, but that's not how it works. If you can't see it under the glove, there's zero chance you're ever going to get the call. So while I believe that that shot probably went in the first, no way to know. And it's a shame that that one didn't get to count, because who knows? Well, obviously, it matters in the fact that the final score was 2-1. But just Robin Lehner getting to him early would have been nice. Could have changed things. Unfortunately, nothing happening. Certainly no refs blowing any whistles. Nothing get called as everybody's tackling each other. And, you know, every violation in the book seemed to have happened in that first period. I saw someone tweet, like, I don't even know if they would call a puck over the glass in this game. That's how much we're just going to let absolutely everything go. Shots 11-4 Montreal in the first. Perfect first period, really. Couldn't have gone any better besides the fact that they didn't have a goal to show for it. In the second, there was just no space out there. No space for anybody. And Nosek would manage to get to 4-on-4 action by taking Shea Weber out with him in the first penalties handed out on the night. Just that was the first of several bullshit calls to go with all the bullshit non-calls. That's a trade, of course, Vegas is going to take at any time. Nosek offered Shea Weber, who's a key minutes guy, a key penalty killer, key everything for the Habs. Of course Vegas will take that, and they seem to know it. 4-on-4, they started to rev the engines a little bit, knew it was their chance, and Suzuki would get called for the only soft call in the night. An insanely soft hooking call. Yes, a hooking call that would stand in the regular season, but considering the full-on assaults that we'd seen earlier in the game, it was insane that Suzuki would be called there. Petrangelo would hit a post on the ensuing power play, but nothing more. And moments after that, it's Paul Byron on a breakaway, takes the puck off his skate. A neat little move by Byron, one of many neat little moves we've seen from Byron in these playoffs. And he beats Leonard 1-0 Habs. And honestly, I thought that might be enough on the night. It really seemed like it could be. 9-8 shots after 40 minutes, and the Habs have the very important 1-0 lead. The third period would start with a minute 39 of Habs power play. Nothing doing on that, unfortunately. Caulfield would get a breakaway in the period, and probably the biggest moment of the night was Robin Lehner stopping Cole Caulfield on that breakaway. Cole trying to get a move in, trying to go five-hole. Leonard did a good job covering up. Maybe Caulfield should have gone to lifted the puck. Hard to say in hindsight, you know, if you can get the goalie moving across and open up that five hole, I get it. But, you know, maybe go up on Leonard. It worked for Byron. Alas, there's your alas. Alas, Caulfield was stopped, and that was a big moment. That kind of changed everything. Speaking of Caulfield, he would be somewhat implicated on the game-tying goal. He was failed to pick up a really nice kind of clear attempt by Suzuki, just skated past it. Had he got that, who knows how the game goes, but he failed to grab that and send it the other direction. Turnover exists for Vegas. They take advantage. McNabb beats Price, who's on the post but didn't have the whole thing entirely jammed up like he usually does. It sneaks through somehow. We're even at one. And after 60 minutes, the high danger chances were 18-0 for the Habs. Look, if they'd won this thing, we'd be feeling amazing because it was a truly, truly dominant performance. Let me say that again. High danger chances, 18-0 for Montreal. Vegas had no business winning that game, which is what makes it, of course, all the more difficult to swallow. Overtime did not take long. It's Nick Roy, who's proven to be pretty dangerous in this series for Vegas. He scores, they steal it back, and the series goes back to Vegas, even at 2-2. Hope that's not the one that, well, that'll inevitably be one that got away, but hope it's not the one that got away that we just keep thinking about if the Canadiens should lose this series. A tough one, a tough pill to swallow, especially considering the straight-up shenanigans slash shit show from the refs. Everyone gets to do it again on Tuesday night. That will be Game 5 from Vegas before the series returns to the Bell Center. Saint-Jean-Baptiste, La Fête Nationale. That'll be fun. Either the Canadiens will have a chance to clinch their first trip to the Stanley Cup Final since 1993, or they will be staving off elimination, trying to force a Game 7. Either way, it's going to be huge. I imagine the Bell Center will be even a little louder for the 3,500 or so, whatever it is that they decide they're going to let in there come Thursday night. So, looking forward to the two games this week, I think. I don't know, looking forward to is the right word after the way I felt in that third period and the bit of overtime on Sunday night. Just the old stomachache of stress. The knot right in the middle there. I watched like a bunch of episodes of season 11 of Archer after. I couldn't watch highlights, didn't want to see the text messages, didn't want to get on Twitter and see people's ideas, thoughts, complaints about the game. Just needed to break off, and so, you know, watch some stupid TV. It was a stressful one, it was a disappointing one, but the Habs played really well, so they got that going for them, which is nice. Till post-game at some point, depending on the result, I guess, on Tuesday. Take care.